Good morning, everyone. Well, I don't know what part of this is going to be a treat, but we are going to have a few different situations up here this morning. And whether you know this or not, our theme for the summer is fingerprints slash footprints. Footprints being a little more impactful than fingerprints. And well, Violet and I have been back and forthing this for about a month and a half, and it just seemed to fall into place because on the back of some of the mercy stuff we've been talking about, we've gotten to know a few situations that are very encouraging. And so I said to Violet, well, why don't you do the front end of this and I'll do the back end of it. So the theme that we chose is decision making. How does decision making affect your fingerprint on yourself or your footprint on others? Now, this is not a lecture, and you might say, well, where is it in the Bible about decisions? Well, you know what? I got to admit, I didn't know either. So I looked it up. And guess what the first verse was that popped up? The children of Israel were wandering through the desert, and they were basically, confused. They were, some of them were murmuring, some were this and that and everything. And God said, you know, we need somebody to help these people make a decision or decisions. So he inaugurated the breastplate of decision. Now, I don't see any breastplates of decision on any of you here right now, but actually, they are on all of you. So he said, Aaron, you're going to carry the breastplate of decision, and you're going to make all the important decisions. I mean, other than normal reflex action decisions that people can make. And that's the way they went on for however many years they did. And I said, man, if God had to do that for his own people, after everything that they'd gone through, maybe we should talk about this a little bit. We should talk about the importance of decisions and how we make decisions. So what we're going to do is Violet has, over the last couple months, really keyed in on a new friend, and she'll tell you about that, Ramona. And then I'll bring somebody else up, and we'll talk about the decision that that person made. So, come on, ladies. This is Ramona. Ramona's been around forever, right, Ramona? Okay. We're not gonna let you guys sit. You get too comfortable. So here.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I know that most of you probably know Ramona because she usually sits at the back there. And she's been part of our church for quite a long time. In fact, she first came to the ministry center at Selkirk in Maine, but she was a different person then. Anyway, Ramona lives in the Bell Hotel, and she finds it quite a safe place for her. She wants to stay there. And she works at the Main Street Project, right, for the harvest, yeah. And she does that several days a week. So her life is full, and in the last months, we've been going out for lunch together. Our favorite place is George's on Selkirk. And when Ramona walks in, the owner knows her, and he often gives her a little extra something or other, which is really cool. Anyway, Ramona and I talked about her life. Excuse me. And she wrote down what she wants to share. So I'm going to let her read that.
Hi. My name is Ramona, and my favorite Bible verse is Joshua 1:9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is comfort and hope, and I feel that God is speaking through the word and giving me strength. When I was 4 years old, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Some background was I was in four different foster homes by the time I was 4 years old. I was a sick child. In one of the foster homes, I was sick often after every meal. I was very badly abused, and they kept bags by my plate after every meal. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was really ashamed that there was a God that cared. I'm really excited because I have a real friend in the Bible, Psalms and Proverbs. God does really speak through the Bible. I'm totally amazed that he is there. It took me quite some time to believe that God was there, that prayer footprints really struck me as real. Jesus loves me, that he carried me through. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. I find comfort in the Bible. I think he has a Bible verse for everything that I go through. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I fear? There was a time in Vancouver, Vineyard Church that I was panhandling and drinking and sniffing. God has really helped me through. And that's all.
And I asked Ramona, how did God help you, or how did you just get out of sniffing and drinking? Because that's so hard for so many people. And she said somebody had come up to her at the drop-in and said to her, if you keep on with this lifestyle, you'll die. And so then she stopped. And she's just amazing to me. She has two children. Her son is going to McGill University in Montreal. I know, isn't that amazing? And her daughter lives in Fort Frances, and she has several children, and the children are all with her. And so I just really respect and admire Ramona, first of all, for her faith. She often tells me she's afraid, but as soon as I say, the peace of Jesus be on you, she just calms right down, and we have wonderful times together. And she always tells me she loves me. And I have had friends for 50 years. They never, hardly ever say that to me. She tells me every time. And I just am so touched by that. Thank you.
Okay, there's one line I want you to remember because it's going to come up later. If I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to die. Sounds ominous, eh? Remember that line. Now, here comes another treat. I'm going to ask Felix, and Felix, you're going to bring Alicia with you. Okay. Now, most of you know these folks. If you don't, they are from China. How long have you been here, Felix? 3 years. Well, I want to tell you. The first year of being friends with them was a real challenge because we had trouble communicating, okay? And sort of, Alicia sort of zoomed a little bit ahead because she had a job, and Felix was always kind of a little wobbly in English. Yeah. Now, 3 years later, they're both independent. All right, in English. Now, the reason that Alicia is standing up here, the story is not about Alicia, but it is a little, quite a bit about Alicia, because she's kind of the hero in this story. So they came over on a business, what do you call it? Business venture, visa, whatever. Yeah, you gotta buy a business or whatever. Yeah, that's the way it was. Okay. Now, they look for business. So, of course, we hit it off, eh? Start talking about business. What kind of business? Well, I don't know. I think you probably bought two or three businesses already in your head already since you come here now. Yeah. And now, you still don't have a business, right?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So now, here's what this is all about. It's not about the business. It's about, Elisha was a believer, and he wasn't a believer. And when every time we talked about Jesus with Elisha, Felix would kind of go a little bit in the background. He wouldn't, you know, he didn't want to, you know, he says, I'm not ready. So what happened?
It's not, actually, I'm not a believer before I baptized. So, yeah, baptized. Baptized, sorry. I'm just not very, just trust the God as the real, because I made a prayer to decide to follow the Jesus, just by two pastor always push me to believe God, but I'm not really believe it by myself. But this year, when I came here, my family came here, we joined the house group with John,
Lydia. Yeah.
Yes, house group. And talk about the Jesus. And I'm really a little bit more and more believe God. After last Christmas Day, we joined one thing to the Kansas City. Then I feel in the concert, I feel a lot of, I just pressure on my shadow, and I feel some power to around me. I think maybe this is God, this is Holy Spirit. Yes. So in this year, I just get a vision, maybe I will baptized in this year, but I'm not sure when and where. So in the summer, my family go to Kansas City and join the children's camp. And I feel, I suddenly think I should baptized. Mm-hmm. And then I'm very fortunate. Mm-hmm. My wife helped me find a pastor. Then I
in Kansas City.
Yeah, in Kansas City. Okay. Yeah,
and
I think this is this decision is not make this decision not by myself, just by Holy Spirit. I think so.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute! Now you're stealing my thunder here a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna get into this a little more. I want to tell you. I went to visit them a week ago. Sat down in the kitchen. She had a friend with her. We started talking, and Felix is sitting there. I didn't know anything about this story. And I said to myself, you know, something different here. I'm not sure, but I'm not pushing any buttons on him. And I wasn't even there to talk to him. I was here to talk to Elisha. So then you went to the back somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're talking, and I say to Elisha, where's Felix? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's somewhere over there. I say, ask him to come back. Sit down. It just felt like, you know, it just felt different. And then, guess what? He tells me he became a Christian, believer. And I said, well, man, at least I can sniff that out a little bit. You know, just get the, you know how it is. You right away know in the countenance of a person. If you know the person a different way, and all of a sudden it is different now, and it's the right way different. So anyway, I want to congratulate you.
Thank you.
For your decision.
Yes.
And if it wouldn't be for this lady, I'm not sure, because she say, I'm going to Kansas City. I'm going back to Kansas City. I'm going to DePauw. I'm going, where else do you go? Well, lots of different places.
Yes.
So anyway, this has been great. And we love you guys, and we got good friendship, and we're going to Sun Fortune Restaurant soon, because his parents just came over. And every time her parents or his parents come over, we go for the ultimate Chinese meal on Pembina Highway, way down there somewhere. And I'll tell you, man, we eat Chinese food. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
There you go. Now, where's this all headed? Well, I haven't got much time. I'm going to stop at 11:30, so it gives me 17 minutes. So I'm going to go and talk about the important stuff. Ramona makes a decision on her own to stop sniffing, to stop this, to stop that. And I want to tell you something about Ramona. I want to say this the right way, but Ramona, I think I even told you this sometimes in the last, way back when years, you kind of scared me a little bit because I didn't know what you're going to do next, right? And we had our little troubles once in a while, all right? And she makes a decision, and her countenance changes completely. She's just a completely different person. Most of you never knew her the way she was, all right? So that decision, first of all, has a big effect on her, a fingerprint on her life. But it also has a fingerprint or a footprint. I'll call the footprint what it has on other people, on this church. And even now as we're talking about it. Because this is a glorious story of the witness of the saving and the healing power. This is about healing power in somebody's life. Okay? So she made the decision. She made the decision. And I'm not going to analyze that decision for her. And Felix, well, he kind of turns the whole thing around, and he says, it was the Holy Spirit. Well, we all know, if we're going to decide about becoming a believer, the Holy Spirit's got something to do in this whole thing, because there's a supernatural dimension to that decision. But you still have to make the move on your own, right? In other words, it's a bit of a step process. Well, let me tell you something. 1956, I was 15 years old, and I went to a meeting in the Elmwood MB Church just over the Disraeli Freeway. Andy, you know where it is. Andrew Arthur, that is, not Andy, Randy Wood. And the pastor, or the guy who was speaking, we had a revival meeting. No, evangelistic meeting. It wasn't a revival. This was an evangelistic meeting. And all those 15-year-old guys who were just starting to go to school to MBCI in grade 9 were sitting there. And part of it was German, part of it was English. And he said, now hear this. This is my story now, okay? So I'm not pushing this one on you. He said, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Now, remember what I said before? If you don't change, you're going to die. So this guy was giving me an option between life and death. I mean, I don't want to tell you the whole thing, what he said. And I'm not saying that that's the way everybody becomes a Christian. But I'm telling you my story. And I'll tell you what. That definitely was the honest to goodness fear of the Lord in my life. 15-year-old kid. And I'm kind of glad I got it over with. Because it was pretty cut and dried, for me anyway. So why am I telling you that story? Well, I made a decision only for myself. I didn't do it for the church. I didn't do it for my family. In fact, my parents weren't even Christians. They didn't become Christians until I started going to school, and I came home one day, and I said to my dad and mom, hey, what's this thing about being saved and Jesus? Well, how come you guys don't ever talk about this here? And I want to tell you, I knocked my parents right off their chair. And I didn't do it on purpose. They just didn't know nothing about it. They were good Mennonites from way friggin' back. But they didn't know anything about it. And my dad, the next day, gets on the blower, and he phones the pastor of the church over there, because I told him I'd become a Christian. And he says, we need you to come over here right away. So you can imagine. Now, my dad was just about like me. And I thought he was going to give this guy holy, you know what, holy H whatever. And he said, I want you to explain to us what this becoming a Christian thing is all about. And in 3 days, they had it down pat. And they became a Christian. They became Christians, both of them. He left his smokes in the basement. That was it. I didn't smoke them either, but I knew they were there. And I want to tell you, it was a decision. So what am I driving at here? I'm driving at the word decision. This is all about our lives. This is all about the lives of people we live with, and it's all about the lives of people we come in contact with. If you can just separate it, okay? Your own life, your secrets, your private life. You're like, let's just assume you're married and you've got kids. Okay, so you're making decisions, and then you come to church and you're making decisions. Oh, you're also making decisions about your career. You're making decisions about things that are in your face every day, your budget. So what we want to do is this. I want to tie this together for you. I've got lots of notes, but I didn't make any, okay? The process of making decisions. So, you know, I'm a pretty organized guy, and when I want to explain something, I distill down to a chart. Numero uno. No, go to the front. First one. Good decision maker. So how does this work? Now look, I'm not pushing, I'm not getting any royalties for this or anything like that. I'm not pushing it on you. You can take this or leave it. You can remember it, you can forget about it. But I'll tell you, if you forget about it, you're going to miss out on something here. All right? And if there is anybody here who hasn't yet made the biggest decision for your own life, like Felix's decision, my decision, Ramona's decision, all of our decisions about our own eternal destiny, then all I'm going to say to you is, listen up, please, because this is important. And you can do this on your own with the Holy Spirit, or you can do it with the help of us, and we can pray for you. So let's look at this good decision maker. All right, next page. Next page is the verse. This is the only verse that counts for me in making decisions, honestly. And it distills down to the number one most important thing. It's the fear of the Lord. I look it up, and I'm looking. I know I'm supposed to see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But guess what I see? Next one. It's also the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs, it's the beginning of knowledge. In the Psalms, it's the beginning of wisdom. Okay, so look, real quick, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Well, this is what I think. This is what I know. I looked up the definitions. The dictionary said the same thing. Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is what you do with what you know. Okay? Now, usually, what you know is what you go by if it's only about what you know. But sometimes, you don't know everything about the decision you're going to make. You don't know. And we sang this song. I can't even remember the thing, but it came like this. Three different kinds of decisions in our life. Just let me. It's coming up. It'll come up here. The first one is the automatic reflex actions of what we know to do, and we don't have to go to anybody for the answer to how to do it. We don't even have to go and pray to Jesus about it. We just do it because we know it's right. And you just say to yourself, you know which ones those are. All right. Then there's the, we were talking about shadows. Was it in one of the verses? There's the shadows. You cover the shadows or something. So then there's decisions that have to be made that have got shadows in them. There's something that you know for sure, but there's a whole bunch of stuff you don't know. And what do you do with that? You make half a decision? Well, sometimes we do. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And then there's the decision that is totally based on, or you're totally blacked out. You just don't know what to do. Okay? So those are the three. All right, next one. So here's the deal. Here's the chart. It's coming up slowly. All right. So here's how I break it down for myself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So I'm going to learn, I'm going to know. We go to school, we learn about relational function and dysfunction. We learn how to be humble or not humble. We know all those things. We read the scripture. We know where the verses are, and we try to apply it to our lives. And we do. For the most part, we do. But that still doesn't solve the situation on the decision. The reflex action, there's two parts. The rational, the thing that you're thinking about, you know what you got to do, and then there's a supernatural. So I break it down into two very obvious different spheres. Okay, so the reflex action is based on what we know for sure, and the supernatural dimension is we're not sure what to do with the unknowns. And you got, in the three different choices I had, you got different weights on each one. All right, so number one is the explainable or the obvious. The thing that you can explain and you really don't, everybody would agree, or for the most part you would agree that it is the right decision. The second part is the mysterious. The unknowns are beyond us. So all of a sudden we're starting to see, wait a minute here, the rational is stuff that I can put my finger on or I know what it is already. The supernatural is kind of flipping around in the realm of mysteriousness, in the realm of unknown. Sounds like a movie. Okay, next one. Then we also got the issue of what part of our being is actually dealing with each of these components. Well, in the irrational, it's the mind. Understanding the choices, and then, of course, making the decision on the choice. The mind understands the explainable. On the other side, we hit the soft stuff, the heart. Because suddenly, it's not really about hard and fast rules or hard and fast decisions all the time. There's got to be heart. Now, I'm going to give you the worst example, the best example I can give you for the worst situation that happens. You have people working for you. If you're a boss, if you own your business, okay, I'm not trying to push this into the business realm, but if you own a business, and I did, and we build up the business, we hire people, we have 500, 600, 800 people working. All of a sudden, the economy goes into the toilet. And guess what? We don't have enough business for 800 people. So what do we got to do? Pray to Jesus and ask him what he's got to do? No, you know what? This is where a lot of people don't understand. I'm not trying to get you to understand. You just got to lay the people off. Now, I'm making it sound very glibly simple. It isn't simple. But you can't let your heart drive the decision. Because if you do, you're putting your situation at risk. Now, I know one person who is probably the best guy in the world that I know to do this. Okay? And he wasn't working for me or anything like that. He had his own business. So point being that now we are into a really difficult kind of a struggle, although there are situations where you just have to let the obvious thing take over. On the other hand, where does the heart fit in? Well, wherever the emotional dimension or the heart part of it can fit in, if you are a sensitive believer, you're going to think about it. And you're going to say, how can I kind of soften the blow in a hard ball decision? You guys with me here? You understand what I'm driving at? Okay. All right, I'm going to leave it hanging in the air. Number three, the reasons. Supporting the thoughts with the sensibilities. Well, look, I know only one thing about Scripture. And I want to say this the right way, and it might be a little bit too blaring, but I believe that God wants us, he holds us accountable to do things on the basis of what we know we should do the right way. Okay? I think that's clear. He's given us, we're not robots. He didn't make the decision about salvation, which is the biggest decision in our life, literally. He didn't say, okay, well, if you guys are having trouble, I'll make the decision for you. even though the Holy Spirit can get in there, like Felix said, can get in there and can kind of do the nudging, and can, that's the supernatural dimension. So it isn't like just yes or no, but you, it can be either heavy that way or 50-50 or whatever, however it works. You still make the decision. The Holy Spirit's still involved in that particular decision. And you go with what the result is. And now number four, your experience. Well, look, you're 30 years old, 40 years old, 70 years old, pushing 80 already. Got a bit of experience on certain situations, maybe on a lot of situations. And that doesn't mean that my decision is going to be based on that much, that I've got so much experience that it weights more than a 30-year-old's decision. I have got friends who are 30 years old, who I have a lot, of 50 years old, who I've got a lot more respect for than me making that decision, specifically. Then on the other side, in the supernatural thing, it's really about the faith aspect of it, because, wait a minute, I might have all the experience in the world, but I still don't know how to make that decision. I still have to work it out. And I have to have the dimension of faith and the supernatural impact or influence on the decision. Okay, so where are we going with this? Last one. Simple example. And dramatic examples. Okay, so all I was trying to do here, and look, I'm not trying to give you a list of push button and you got the answer, okay? That's not what we're doing here. But I'm just trying to, like, when it comes to child rearing, you know very well, it ain't the way it was when I was a kid. I had the rod marks on my rear end. You know what that means? My dad had the stick. And it was the smallest friggin' stick you could get. You know why? Because it stung more than the fat stick. Okay, well, we don't do that anymore. And you know you don't do it anymore, and don't you dare do it, because you know you might have a knock on the door. All right? So things have changed in that area, but you know what you can do, and you know what you can't do. The budget, your family budget. Okay. You know what? You're working out with your spouse, with your kids. Wow. I got a good one. I'm going to lay this on the line. This is. Ooh. I don't know. Well, it's not going to like this. I go to the lake for a relaxing time. Guess what I got? And not a relaxing time. Why do I not have a relaxing time? One of my grandchildren brings his girlfriend along. Where are you staying tonight? Oh, really? Oh, I'm not sure I like that idea. I'm going camping up into the bush. You ever heard that line before? You want to get away from the action? You want to get away from the eyes? You want to get away? You don't go camping in the bush. Me, Grandpa, is going to tell them, don't go camping in the bush with your girlfriend? In the same tent? Hello? What a miserable day that was. Is that okay that I talk about this well? It's not okay. I'm saying to everyone here, the bottom line is, our decisions are not always the ones we think we're going to make. Because I think that we have to know what we're accountable for. So let me tie this all together. We have this little chart. Go back to the rational supernatural chart there, if you can, please, Manfred. All right. At the end of the day, the Lord only wants one thing from us. He wants us to fear Him. He wants to give us knowledge so that we can actually make wisdom decisions. Okay? And guess what? It's not always just about you making the decision, because it's when it's in the family, like the example I gave you, it affects the whole, everybody, all 25 of them, or 20 of them, whatever. And so the point is, I don't know, like that will be one that I'm going to be working on for a little bit, or we're going to be working on. But let's just come down to, I want to stay on the supernatural side for a minute and then tie it together. We know that there are a lot of mysterious things in our life that we don't know the answers for. We know that it's not just the mind that has to make the decision. The heart has to be involved. We know that it's not just our knowledge that makes the decision. We have to know what the Lord will be happy with, what the Spirit will nudge us to. And finally, oh, let me give you one, you guys. You know what? In all the years of my Christian life, 62 years of Christian life, 2 years ago, I hit the ultimate decision wall. The ultimate decision wall. And you've heard the story, but I'll tell you real quick again. In Kathmandu, earthquake knocked over the buildings. What are we going to do? The government tells us to get out. All these people in the church, what are we going to do? And one of the guys in my list of most treasured friends with wisdom, Noel, said, I think we should rebuild it. I think the Lord wants us to rebuild it because he's just done too much here in 25 years for us to knock it down and go away. So I say, well, okay. So we went through the rigmarole, and at the end of the discussion, it was $1.5 million. And you know what? When you're the only guy in the world, now this is reality. I'm not blowing my horn about who I was there. I didn't even want to be that person. When you're the only guy, if you're the only hope for people to keep on going in one of the poorest parts of the world. You say, it's got nothing to do with my mind, it's got nothing to do with my reason, it's got nothing to do with my experience because I've never done this before, and it's not even explainable. So guess where I landed? I landed in the bottom number 4 in faith. I said, if you can build it for this much money, I'll go find it. And that was a 100% faith decision, 100%. Had no idea whether we could get it done or not, except to say he believed that Jesus was on this, and frankly, I kind of crutched on that a little bit because I tell you, if I wouldn't have seen Jesus on this in him, I sure wouldn't have jumped out of the boat. So I went with it. We did it together. And 2 years down the road, the buildings are up, and we quite don't have enough all the money yet. And so I'm telling you, I know personally from experience, not from very long ago, how to go right down to the bottom of the tank, which is faith in the entire decision process for one situation. And I am very sure that many of you here have been there and maybe still are right today going out of here and saying, wow, how does this work anyway? Well, I'll tell you how it works. If you do it the right way, now, when it comes to money, I'm a worrywart. I have not lost 1 minute of sleep in 2 years about finding $1.5 million. That's what God will do for you. He'll take it all away. He'll take the whole thing on his shoulders. And I don't even know if you can imagine. Well, I hope you can imagine, but if you can't, if you're ever in the situation, Let God do it for you. And I know what I'm talking about here, but life is just not about one big decision one time and then you go on and on. You still got all those decisions every day of your life. So I want to pray the wisdom of the Lord and the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of what you have to do and the wisdom of God for the decisions you have to make. So Lord, I ask for that for each one of us. In every decision, you know every person here, every decision that they have to make or have made or in the middle of making or know that they're going to have to make, and you know where they are going to land on this chart. And I pray the strength, the confidence, the power, the supernatural manifestation of your presence on their lives, in their situations, in our situations, and even for that matter, with our church. Where we're going with the church. I'll tell you, we're not doing it on the rational basis. We're kind of past that already. You know, we did what we had to do with the money, but now we're in the supernatural realm of having to work it out for the future. So God, we just ask for your power to come. If there's anyone here who needs to consider the most important decision of their lives right now, I just ask that you give them boldness to come forward. We pray for them. But most of all, Lord, we pray for peace. I pray for peace on each one of us today, for every decision that faces us, for every option, and for every source of strength and power that we know to go to. Amen.